My thought on my heart is the importance and necessity and benefit of waiting on God. It's a very, very important, vital thing for every one of us to learn. So I have several scriptures here. First one is Psalms 27. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This 27th Psalm is a wonderful psalm. I hope that you've read in it different times, and it's really been a great encouragement and a help to me in my life. That fourth verse has been extra special to me. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That's a wonderful thought. Verse 14 now is one we want to especially mention about now. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now that's just what it says, and that's what it means. Don't get in a hurry and get ahead of the Lord. Wait on Him. All right? Psalm 37. Let's go to Psalm 37. We have several scriptures we want to notice. Start at the first verse. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. I want to notice verse 34 also. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Now let us go to Isaiah 25 and notice some scriptures there. Isaiah 25 and verse 9. It shall be said in that day, this is, by the way, this is a prophecy of the New Testament in Christ. In verse 8, he quotes that in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection. He shall swallow up death in victory. He quotes it in 1 Corinthians 15 by saying, death is swallowed up in victory. But it said, in that shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Thank the Lord. Now let's go to Isaiah 30 and 18. And therefore, oh, there's so many other good things in this, but I want to get this one verse. Therefore will the Lord wait. The Lord will wait sometime. Hold off. Not work just right now. He has a waiting schedule sometimes. Therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. Here it is again. Wait for the Lord. Wait on the Lord. All right, let's go to Isaiah 30. Well, that's 30, isn't it? Isaiah 40 and 31. We could quote that one, but we'll read it. That's a wonderful text. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So it's so important that we learn the great lesson of waiting on the Lord and not getting ahead of Him. Let's go to Lamentations now of Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 18 to 26. And I said, now the first part of this chapter is Lamentations of Jeremiah. I mean, you just read it sometimes, and he went through some awful hard times. He suffered. He really did. He suffered in his life, in his ministry there with the Israel and at Jerusalem and all, and the ungodly kings and the way things went. He suffered a lot. And this first verse of this third chapter says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And then it goes and tells us the awful hard things he went through. But let's pick it up, though, at verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, that's the bitter thing. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. This has encouraged me. Going through all these hard places, learning how to wait and suffer and bear and forbear. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. That's one of my favorite songs. Did you ever heard of that one? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever shall be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Bear the yoke, wait on the Lord. Learn how to be patient and forbearing. Now, I was thinking about different ones in the Scriptures that we want to make mention of that experience waiting on the Lord. The first one I want to mention is Noah. There was a time element in that story of Noah. There was some enduring, there was some waiting, there was some working, there was some accomplishing had to be done, waiting on God as He had promised. We don't know. Noah was 500 years old. It seems, as the Scripture account says, was 500 years old when the Lord dealt with him about the flood. But he was 600 years old when the flood came. So he had a big job, and it took time. It took a long time. Would you think about the measurements of that structure, of that ark? It took a long time for that to be built. And in the meantime, he was working, and he was no doubt preaching and speaking to the people about the flood, warning them about the awful flood. The Lord said he's going to send the flood and destroy all humanity. But he gave Noah the chance to save him and his house if they would obey him and build the ark. So it took patience, day after day, working day after day, waiting, doing, working, praying, looking to the Lord, speaking. Just his life was some great responsibility. But he was waiting, and look, he was a patient man. He was a man of faith. Then I'd like to think about Abraham. You know, I have really been blessed in my life and studies and personal study in the Bible of surveying the life of good old faithful Abraham. Abraham learned to wait on God. Abraham was 75 years old when his relationship with the Lord and all the things. 75 years old. And God told him to leave his home, his country, his father's house and all, and go to a land, he said, that I will show you. He didn't tell him where he was going. He just said, get up and go. And then he made the promise that said, in his seed would all nations of the earth be blessed. And he would be a blessing. So Abraham obeyed. Hebrews 11 tells us how by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a country which he would afterward receive for inheritance, went out, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, living in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was faithful. He waited on the Lord. He endured. He went through all kinds of things and in his faith and waiting on God. God said his wife was barren. She was not able to have children. She didn't have any children. And just different things come along Well, I don't know. I don't like some of those things. I don't like to talk about very much. But she got him to take up with a servant girl. So this servant girl, she had a little baby by Abraham. Well, that wasn't a very good thing, but that's the way they did. And God was merciful. But still, he was looking for a son and his seed. He said, in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And now he was barren. No children with his wife. So it took a lot of patience and waiting for Abraham. And finally, Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. There's 25 years waiting and enduring and going through this, going through that, learning this and learning that. And then on up as Isaac, according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, Isaac was 25 years old whenever God told Abraham to offer him up as a burnt offering. And so we see that story in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, how Abraham obeyed the Lord and took Isaac, his son, and some couple of men and the donkey and the wood and the fire and went on his way. It was 2 or 3 days' journey. Yes, going along. And finally, Isaac says, Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, we have all this, but well, where's the lamb for the offering? He didn't realize that he was singled out to be the lamb. And Abraham answered him very wisely. He said, my son, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. And you know, I've pictured Abraham in his mind and in his thoughts. He was a human being just like you and me. He had his struggles. He had his difficulties. And going on up there, finally the Lord pointed the place out where he wanted him to make the sacrifice. Y'all believe that story? I believe it. I love that story of Abraham. And this was the great test that the Lord was putting on him. Test of obedience. And they got up there to that place, Moriah, the hill. And Josephus, I like to read Josephus' writings. He tells some things that the Bible don't just tell. But you can just imagine that there's some things that had to take place. Got up there and built the altar. Got the wood laid on the altar. Got everything ready. And then Josephus says that Abraham told Isaac, he says, Isaac, you are to be the sacrifice. God has showed me, I have loved you, I have cared for you, I have hoped that you would be the seed for my life. But the Lord has said for me to offer you up as a burnt offering. But at the same time, Abram did not give up the thought that Isaac was still going to be his posterity. He still held on to that. Because Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, his son, and he that had received the promises offered up Isaac, that had said, his Isaac shall thy seed be called. But see, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. That's what he believed. And that's why he went ahead and obeyed. And Josephus says that Isaac had something to say. Isaac said, Father, I was not worthy to be born to start with. And now if this is what God wants you to do to me, that's fine. That's all right. And he went himself and got up on the altar. And Abram tied him up and got everything so, and then took the knife and was ready to slay his son. You had to kill the sacrifice and shed its blood and then burn its body on the altar. But what happened? Just as he was raising his knife to bring it down, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. Lay not your hand upon the son. for now I know. Well, don't God know everything? He knows everything, but He puts us to the test so we can know and experience. I know now that you fear me, seeing you have not withheld your only son from me. So I thank the Lord for Abraham in his faith, in his patience, in his waiting on God and faithfulness. Abraham never did get to see the Canaan land as his possession. It was all in faith. And Abraham died and left this world as a pilgrim and a stranger in the land that was to be promised. Well, anyway, I thank the Lord for these wonderful things. Now I was thinking about Joseph. Most of us know the story of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob, next to the youngest son. His wife, Rachel, bore him two sons before she died. She died as she bore the youngest one, Benjamin. But Joseph and Benjamin were the sons of his beloved wife, Rachel. And Joseph grew up as a sweet young boy, and Jacob loved Joseph so dearly, and his brothers were jealous of him. And they it was just awful the way they treated Joseph. And Joseph come up with a dream. He had told him that he had a dream. He said he dreamed that he was a sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down before him. And brothers said, "You think we're going to bow down before you?" And anyway, he had these dreams. And then when he was 17 years old, his brothers were out with their cattle in other places. And Jacob wanted to send Joseph to see about his brother. And so he gave him things to go to do. And also he had this coat of many colors that he had given to Joseph. So Joseph went out and went searching for his brethren. He thought they were in a certain place, but the man said, "No, they've gone over yonder." So he went over there, and when the brothers saw him coming, they connived in their minds and hearts what they're going to do with him. "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and get rid of him and see what happens to his dreams." "No," Reuben says, "no, we won't do that, but we'll put him in this pit here." And there's a pit over there. So when Joseph walked up to him, they just grabbed him and put him into the pit. He had some food there. They took that and sat down and started eating the food with him in the pit. Well, then you know how the Ishmaelites come by on a trek to Egypt. And they connived and said, "Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites, and we'll get some money in the deal." And Reuben didn't know. He didn't know they did this. He was out walking somewhere. Anyway, they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver to these Ishmaelites. All right? He was 17 when that happened, right? All right? They took Joseph. Now just think of the sorrow and the anguish that poor boy suffered, being treated by his brothers. And his brothers took his coat of many colors and dipped it in the blood of a kid or something and took it home to his, sold his father that what they found. And then his father said, "Oh, he's been killed. He's been killed." But Joseph was down in Egypt. He was bought by Potiphar, captain of the guard. And Potiphar brought him to his house, and the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him, and he prospered him as a man of the house, a man that took care of everything. Then Potiphar's wife tried to allure him, and he refused her, and she lied on him, and Potiphar had Joseph thrown into prison. Anyway, while he was down in prison, he rose to the top. God blessed him. And the prison man just turned everything over to Joseph. And one day, he come in, and here was the butler and the baker of the king, thrown in prison for something. And they were both troubled. He asked him, he says, what's wrong? Well, he said, we both had dreams. We'd like to know what it is. He says, it's troubling us. Well, he said, interpretations belong to God. He said, tell me your dream, and I'll give you the answer, what it is. All right, so the one told him how that he was going to go up to the Pharaoh, the king, and give him a cup. And Joseph says, well, that means that you will soon be restored to your position. And the baker says, well, I was dreamed, I was going along, and I had some baskets of bread and on my head, and I was carrying them, and the birds came and ate all the bread out of the baskets. Joseph said, well, in 2 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and hang you and let the birds eat your flesh. And that's exactly what happened. But he told the butler, he said, sir, would you speak to the king for me? I have not done anything wrong. I am in false. I was put in prison and first false charges. And I would like for you to speak. Oh, yeah. So he went, but what happened? He forgot him. The butler forgot Joseph. How long then did that tarry? 2 more years. You know, I can count how many days are in a year. 365. 2 years would be 730 days. Can you imagine waiting each day? 730 days. He probably was tempted to just, well, I guess it's never, nothing's going to happen now. I'll be here the rest of my life. But he was steadfast and faithful in his work. And then one day the king had a dream. A dream which has had the cattle that was coming up out of the river Nile, and there were, what was it, seven head of fat cattle and 7 head of lean cattle, and the lean cattle ate up the fat cattle. And then there was another dream that pictured that too. It was a double dream. And the Pharaoh was so troubled, he didn't know what to think about it. And the butler, oh, I forgot. There's a man down in the prison that can tell you what that dream means. Well, get him up here. And they went and called Joseph and got him up there. He was 30 years old. 17 to 30. How long is that? 13 years. Don't you know, dear ones, that waiting and enduring difficult, hard times with faith in God is good for your spirit? It's very vital. Anyway, whenever he appeared before the king, and the king told him the dreams, and Joseph gave him the interpretation, and said, this is going to mean that there's going to be 7 good years coming when everything will grow and be abundant. But after that will be 7 bad years of famine. And it will eat up those 7 good years. But he says, what you need to do is get a man and oversee in the 7 good years to store up the extra grain, because it's going to be in an abundance. And he says, what better man could I get than the one that's standing before me? And so he gave Joseph that position, second to him as ruler. Isn't that wonderful? Just, it pays to wait on the Lord and keep your faith up. It surely does. Now, I was thinking also of poor David. David went through some awful hard times. He had to run for his life. He had to go out and live, I don't know how many years, I don't know how old he was when this all came on him. But he was 30 years old when he became the king. So there were several years there that he was suffering and going through hard places. I was thinking also about the Apostle Paul in Acts 16. There's one scene here that is very inspiring to me. Acts 16 and 6. This is when Paul and Timotheus and some of the others, maybe Luke was with them, I don't know for sure about that. But it says they were out working for the Lord. And verse 6 says, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. See, the Holy Spirit said, don't preach the word here. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. No, don't go in there. Well, what are we going to do? Wait on the Lord. That's what you got to do. Wait on the Lord. Can't go over here. We can't go over there. What are we going to do? Brother Paul, what shall we do? Well, let's just wait on the Lord and look to the Lord about it. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia and Achaia, and were in that city abiding certain days. Now here they're waiting again. They're in Philippi. Well, we're in Philippi, Paul. Well, what are we going to do? Well, let's just wait on the Lord. The Lord will work out something. And then they went out by the riverside on the Sabbath. And there was a place where they were having prayer meeting. And they got down, sat down, and spoke to the women. And anyway, so that shows that there are times when we have to wait on the Lord. Let's see, Galatians 5 and 5. I pray the Lord to help us all. You may not think much about it at the time, but there will be times you'll have to wait on the Lord if you... 5 and 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We are waiting. We are looking for the fulfillment of all of God's salvation and plan. It hasn't come yet, but we're looking to the Lord and we're endeavoring to wait for Him. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. It says, verse 9, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the true living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we are waiting on the Lord to come. We're waiting. We're waiting on Him to split the skies and bring the world to an end and bring us all to our crown of glory. We're waiting on that. This is a patience The patience of the saints, patiently waiting on the Lord to bring it to pass. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to mention a few times in my life that I've had to wait on the Lord. You probably heard me tell these things, but I'll be telling them till I leave this world, because it's such a great lesson and a great experience to me. I remember when I was first saved and gave my heart to the Lord, a young woman came into my life, and I learned to appreciate her and highly esteem her in her spiritual life, her service to the Lord. She came from California to work in the Lord's print shop, Faith Publishing House. I had just gotten saved that fall, that summer that she came. Anyway, as time went on, I learned to love her and appreciate her. She was a real, wonderful, lovely, sweet, precious, spiritual, praying, faithful saint of God. And I was looking to the Lord. I was looking to hear the Lord to direct me and to have His way in my life. And as time went on, I began to feel love and desire for her. And I was praying. I was seeking the Lord. I wanted the Lord to have His way about it. I tell you, young people, it pays to wait on God for a companion. How many people that we have known that have got in a hurry and let the flesh rule, and they paid for it dearly. And it's awful. It's awful sad to think about. Anyway, it pays to wait on the Lord. Pray and get the mind of the Lord and then do what He says. And if you have to wait, wait. It pays to wait. It's not easy to wait. When you're wanting something very ardently, it's not easy to wait. But it pays to wait. I never will forget a day on a Wednesday afternoon in March of 1958. I was driving a school bus for the Guthrie Public Schools. My route took me on a 40 route spin out west of town. And this day, on a Wednesday afternoon, I had let all my children off at their places, all down around out west, way out west, 10 miles, 12 miles west, down about 5 miles to the south. I had them all put out, and I was coming back down Highway 33. Every time I go by the spot, I think about it. I was driving that bus and I was praying to the Lord with all my heart. I said, Lord, what do You want me to do? I don't remember all I said. I just poured out my heart. Lord, help me to know what Your will is. Is Sylvia the one for me? What do You want me to do? Oh, I was praying earnestly as I drove down the road, Highway 33, toward Guthrie. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. Oh dear, was it been so wonderful to have the Spirit of the Lord guide us and lead us in life?
Thank the Lord.
But it takes much to obey. The Lord spoke to me, and this is what He said. I was plain. I had no question. Sylvia is the one for you that I want you to have as a wife. But you must wait until I show you to tell her. Oh, I was lit up with joy and gladness. My heart was just full of praise and Oh, my, it was just wonderful. I went ahead and finished my route, took the bus to the bus barn, and went to service that night, got up and testified of the goodness of God and said, I want to testify to you. The Lord helped me to see something today that I was been praying about. Wonder what she thought sitting there. She's sitting right there. If you ask her, she'll tell you she knew what I was talking about. How about that? But here is the thing. When he said to wait until I show you, I thought it may probably be 2 or 3 weeks, and he'll main part of the office and was visiting and talking. Finally, folks began to leave. They began to come to the end of the day, and it was time for them to leave. So one by one, they asked out. And finally, I was standing in the office there by myself, and I just kind of standing, leaning up against the furniture there and wasn't thinking too much about anything. I just kind of... All of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me, and He says, it's time to tell her. Oh, I'll tell you, you talk about something jarring me and surprising me and stunning me. I was dumbfounded. I couldn't hardly... And then he spoke again. It's time to tell her. Oh, I tell you what, it took all the nerve and all the courage and all the strength I could muster up to go do that. There would have been a time I'd have jumped at it right now. But I had just so held myself bound and waited and had just held it on. Now I got to bring it up. Anyway, I went out and she got through with her work, and I told her what was on my heart and how the Lord had showed me and everything. It pays to wait on the Lord. And we have been richly blessed in our life because we know that we were in the will of God. It's very important. Wait on the Lord and know. And if the things don't work out right now, don't be disheartened. Just keep patient and waiting. There was a time several years ago when we lived here at Guthrie, we had some folks in the congregation that lived down in Oklahoma City, and we were close to them. We visited them, and they'd come up and visit us. Brother and Sister Douglas was their name. And I seemed like I was burgling, praying about making a change. House, our children was growing up, and it was just kind of close quarters. And so we were praying and looking to the Lord, and Brother and Sister Douglas, they were visiting us one time, and they said, "Tell you what you could do. We could let you live in our house." They lived in had a nice home in Oklahoma City, and we'll let you stay there. We won't have to pay any rent, and you can keep up the taxes on it, but you don't need to. We don't need to pay no rent. And he made that kind of an offer to us, and it sounded good. I said, "Well, we'll pray about it." I prayed about that thing for over a year.